I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Down the block, Andrew Johnson. Inside for Elba. Elba will score! Elba will score! Newcastle has won!
G'day guys, welcome back to the Rugby League Guru Podcast. Today we're going to go through the Ask Me Anything questions sent into the Roo Crew. If you would like to join the Roo Crew, if you're listening on the podcast, the link is in the description. Come and join us. Over 600 members in there. The community in there is growing rapidly. The content is absolutely flowing in there. There is so much to take in. If you want to hear your question read out on shows like this for me and Kat to go to answer and whatnot, make sure you go in there, chuck your questions in. $2 a week, $8 a month, cheap as chips. We've got merchandise coming very, very soon, as in days away. So if you do want to get into the Roo Crew, to make sure you get your paws on those. I reckon, and I've been wrong on many things before that won't shock you, but I reckon there's every chance that this sells out simply in the Roo Crew and doesn't actually get to the general public. So if you want to get there, make sure you're in the Roo Crew. $2 a week, $8 a month, link in the description. Kathmandu,
yo,
welcome back. How are we?
I'm a very good. I'm excited to be back. We've had a. It looked like you're.
I was about to say, you seem to be a bit off the grid on the weekend.
Yeah, well, I was away for a wedding Friday, Saturday, down south. Terrible reception, so I had no idea what was happening with
the footy.
Down in Moss Vale.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, it was beautiful, but I was very much so off the grid. I had no reception. But then I think it's just healthy, you know, to take a bit of a step back from social media sometimes. And I'm pretty guilty of it. I like to disappear here and there.
Yeah,
and
no,
I disappeared a bit this weekend and it was really nice.
Yeah, that's what I love about golf. Just put the dog and bone in the bag and see you in 4 hours. It's great.
Or 8 hours.
Yeah. If you're hitting them poorly like I usually do. good gear. Love that. Was it a wedding, did you say?
Yeah, it was
Whose wedding was it? Give us some shout outs.
Her name is Diana. She's from Colombia. I met her when she first moved to Australia, which was 11 years ago. We met in her first 3 months here.
Yep.
And so I've seen her whole journey settling in Australia, including meeting her now husband, Ricardo. And it was a beautiful wedding. It was super international. There was only 10 people, including me and my parents, who were from Australia.
Wow.
Everyone else was from Colombia or the UK, or there were people from Panama, Czech Republic. It was the United Nations.
I love that.
Yeah.
Diana and Ricardo, shout out to you. Unreal.
Super nice. Love
to
see Congratulations, guys.
Cool watching someone's journey. I can't wait to watch Kat's journey in the CBS Center of Excellence.
I mentioned this. You've mentioned this. You'll hit you one day.
Yep.
Because I am single. I hate saying that, but it's true. I am. You'd said that you're gonna see the whole journey.
Yeah, I'm going to have to vet them as they come through the CBA Center.
And vet them you will.
Vet them I will, don't worry. Whether I'm asked to or not, I will be vetted. Good times. All right, Kathmandu, that's enough about your personal life.
It is. I mean, it was NRL Ask Me Anything. I didn't know it was aimed at me.
Mm, fair. Now, Kat didn't ask me what I did on the weekend. So
that's coming.
Go fuck myself, you know what I mean, sort of stuff. But let's get stuck into
Do you want to quickly
Q&A.
Tell us what
no,
you did?
No. Don't worry about me. You just take up the airwaves. I did fuck all. I watched a heap of footy. I had an engagement party on Saturday that I went to.
Who's
that
engaged?
That was good fun. My best mate, Nick. So that was good fun. I was actually I was sitting there with his wife, Alex, her younger brother, Josh, shout out to him. I know he listens to the podcast. He's good mates with Dean Hawkins.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, we walked in there and I sat down with him and he's like, how do you think Dino's been going? I was like, yeah, you know, he's doing his best, blah, blah, blah. And we're talking about Dean. He's telling me his story and everything. And, obviously loves his best mate, loves that he's playing first grade and everything. And then as we're sitting there, I got a text saying, I think Souths have just signed an English halfback. So I'm sitting there with him. We're literally talking about him and I go, oof, you're not going to like this.
Yeah.
I showed him. He's like, you're fucking kidding. I was like, oof, awful timing.
Yeah, actually, and I wanted to ask you about that. Potential signing as well.
Yeah, I haven't seen too much of this English halfback, but the things I have seen, I have liked. So I think it will be a good signing. Did you see they asked Jai Arrow about it?
Yeah.
It's the most Jai Arrow quote of all time. He's just like, yeah, who does he play for?
Bless him.
It's just like that's
bless
bad.
Jai Arrow.
Never change.
All right, shall we dive in?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, the first question is from Dean, and it is your biggest what if in NRL history. Now, to back this one up, there are a few people that have replied to his question with their own. Carol Fox said, what if Turbo never got injured? I like that one.
Yeah.
What if Kronk never went to the Roosters?
Yep.
Spicy. Roosters. Oh, and then someone replied, Roosters would be irrelevant. And then Matt said, what if Kronk never got injured in the 2014 Origin period? Are there any that come to mind for you?
Honestly, so many of these center around Cooper Cronk for me, and a lot of them have been mentioned there. There is number one, if Cronk didn't get injured in 2014, this is why I hold Cronk in such high regard. If he doesn't get injured in 2014, we don't win that Origin Series. I don't care what anyone fucking says. We don't win that Origin Series if Cronk doesn't get injured. You then fast forward a couple of years later, the Cronulla Sharks win their first ever premiership, an incredible moment in rugby league. There's a moment where Will Chambers is going down the sideline, 2-on-1 with the fullback draw and pass. He dummies and gets tackled. The player inside was Cooper Cronk. So when you look back, if Will Chambers passes that ball football, Cooper Cronk scores under the post. In my opinion, the Melbourne Storm beat the Cronulla Sharks, which would have actually then meant that Cooper Cronk would have gone 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019, four premierships in a row across two clubs. Which,
oh my God.
For me, like I've always said, I personally think Cooper Cronk should be an immortal of our game for what he's done. People disagree, and that's fine. But fuck, if that ball would have been passed inside, that's a game changer. Yeah. And then, of course, him going to the Roosters. And we put that down to Tara Rushton. As we know, she's changed the face of the rugby league forever, I think, in a positive way. Had he not gone there, do the Roosters win a premiership in that time? I don't believe so. And all of a sudden, then the Roosters haven't won a comp in 10-plus years and it'd be chaos. Where would Trent Robinson's career be? Luke Keary's career be? There's a lot of moving pieces that happen around Cooper Cronk. Outside of that one, though, which Cooper builds so many of these, the Tommy Turbo one's interesting.
Yeah, I like that one.
I personally, and I know some Manly fans try and tell me if Turbo didn't get injured in 2021, they win the comp. I strongly disagree.
I don't think so either.
What I do think, though, is that Turbo being injured has turned the tide a little bit in Origin the last few years. And maybe I'm just a salty Blues fan, and if so, I'm happy to wear that. But I think that with Turbo in our team, he's the closest thing we've probably got to what GI was back in the day, which is another what if GI would have played for New South Wales.
Oh, yeah. You took the words out of my mouth. I was going to bring up GI.
Because, like, for as stacked as that Queensland team was, were they better than us? Yes, 100%. But you have a look. I think across those eight Origin series they won, there was only one or two whitewashes. Like, we were in those series and a lot of those games were close games, and quite often when it comes down to close games in Origin, JT would just get the ball, go early ball to GI, and he'd go boom, 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 whooshka, and score, and it'd be over. I quite often wonder if we had GI, I still reckon they probably win six of them.
Yeah.
But I reckon we pick up one or two series in there with a guy like GI.
Speaking of GI, what if GI never moved to South Sydney?
Yeah, that's another huge – I mean, What if GI never moved to South Sydney? What if the Melbourne Storm never got done for being over the salary cap? Like it's – yeah, that one is a big domino effect.
Yeah, also because GI became so much a part of our DNA.
Well, GI became part of your DNA. Like a massive, massive moment. Do you guys win your premiership without GI? I probably doubt it.
Yeah.
Personally. That one's a huge moment. And you got to remember as well, like GI, the mail around was that he was all done and going to the Brisbane Broncos and then ended up at South Sydney. And it's
so what if he'd gone to Brisbane?
What if he had gone to Brisbane?
Yeah, wow.
I mean, you guys won in 2014. Brisbane were in the grand final the year after in 2015. Like, had GI been in that side, that Brisbane side would have been very, very hard to beat. So, yeah, there is a number of absolute crackers. You can even go back to the very, very start of Cam Smith's career, Kat. He's at the Melbourne Storm. I believe it's Richard Swain, who's the current hooker for the Melbourne Storm. He's also the New Zealand hooker, not like an all-timer, but a very solid hooker. Cameron Smith looking for an opportunity. He got very close to signing with the Canberra Raiders.
Mm.
And then obviously
that is a total alternate reality.
Yeah, fucking oath it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, not to mention as a kid, he always wanted to play for the Broncos and the Broncos let him slip through the cracks. He ends up in Melbourne. Like, there's just so many moments like that that just could completely turn everything on its head. Even, you know, certain players getting injured throughout their careers. So, you know, there's so many things to take into consideration.
Like, what if Latrell never left the Roosters? I mean, that one, it just makes you think.
Yeah, exactly right. Like, what if Latrell wasn't at South Sydney right now? How different is there? For good, bad, whatever. Yeah. Think about all the storylines in rugby league that come out around Latrell. Like, imagine if he wasn't at South. Like, I like him at South Sydney. I think it's a perfect fit to have, you know, especially when you look at GI, you know, an Indigenous fullback who is just an all-star of the game. I love that Latrell sort of followed that same sort of path as well. I love that there. Yeah. There's so many things to consider and there's so many throughout history. I've spoken a lot about Ricky Stewart in 93 when he got injured and that turned the comp on its head. You know, a number of what would have happened if, you know, JT misses that field goal in that grand final? What happens if Ben Hunt catches that ball? There's just so many things you can go back and look at.
What if Stephen Crichton didn't get that intercept?
What if Stephen Crichton didn't get that intercept? Wayne Bennett sitting with another premiership and another club. Does the Penrith dynasty come back from that? That would have been two grand final losses in a row for the Penrith dynasty.
Gives me goosebumps.
It's where does Cody Walker sit in the history of the game? You go back to that game, like if Cody Walker throws that pass and they score, he's a Clive Churchill medalist.
Right.
He's a premiership winner. It changes everything in just little moments like that. It really is incredible. If you want to go back to a huge what if that I think plays a huge role in the history of rugby league, 2006 game three, Origin, Brett Hodgson's at dummy half, throws a pass at a dummy half, it goes wayward, Darren Lockyer intercepts and scores a try. Now, that changed Origin forever. The Queensland Maroons won 8 series in a row after that play. And leading into that series, the coach, Mal Meninga, had said to Lockie, Petro, all these guys, hey, New South Wales has won 4 of their last 5 series. If you guys don't perform here, I'm going in a different direction. So those guys went from, you might not be in the Origin side next year if you don't win this, to winning 8 in a row.
To being the best side that they'd ever seen.
And it all came from Darren Lockyer. Why the fuck Darren Lockyer is there to take an intercept 15 metres out off a half volley from dummy half, I will never fucking know. But that's what makes great players great, that they can do those things that no one else can. It's fucking insanity. We've spoken about it a lot. We spoke about with the Bulldogs jersey, that 2004 premiership. We spoke about it a lot on the last play. Andrew Ryan makes one of the most desperate tackles I've ever seen. If he lets Mick Crocker go through, he finds Anthony Minocello on the inside. The Roosters win the grand final. Brad Fittler retires, probably with a Clive Churchill and with another premiership under his belt. Canterbury wouldn't have won a premiership then since the mid-90s. It's just so much to take
and
in
like,
there.
What if South Sydney never made it back into the comp?
What if South Sydney never got back into the comp? What a fucking travesty that would be. What if Super League never happened? What, like, there's so many different avenues.
It's such a rabbit hole. And we're going down it.
I'm going down. I've got one more to throw at you, and it's my biggest one as far as injuries. What if Joey never got injured?
Oh, yeah.
If Joey got to play till he was 30 fucking four and play his entire career, I you know, you have to look at what happened in careers, and the argument for me is Cam Smith or Joey. Joey was the better player. Cam Smith had the better career for me. If Joey would have played his entire career like Cam Smith did, injury free,
yeah,
I think he shits in. But you've got to give Cam Smith credit. He took care of himself better.
Yeah. Because that's just as important.
Body earth
it when is. You're at that such an elite level, it really is those types of things that separate people.
Yeah. But then there's also the other side of it with Joey, you know, and you listen to all these coaches say, you know, if he would have taken extra care of himself and not gone out on the beers and not had that outlet, he probably would have sucked.
Like that's the other way of looking at it. Yeah. Is that also having the ability to do that made him a better player? Who knows?
Exactly right.
What if?
Great question. We could have done a whole podcast on that.
I know. I feel like we might have to explore this in more detail. Okay, Tyson, Scooby Roo, which club do you think Ilias ends up at?
We spoke about this a few weeks ago. Yeah. And I was just saying, okay, I can't remember who told me, but someone told me very confidently 3 or 4 weeks ago that Lachlan Ilias would end up at the Roosters, and I sort of went, nah, no way, that won't happen. I don't know. Obviously, Braith's his manager. He's always had a good relationship with the Roosters.
But also, Braith has been he's obviously good with his language. He knows how the media works. And he has said, quote unquote, that he is open to talk to rival clubs. He didn't just say other clubs. He said rival clubs. Yeah,
Braith isn't stupid. Braith is not stupid at all. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him end up there. That wouldn't shock me in the slightest. Obviously, you know, he's a halfback that hasn't set the world alight. He's done okay. He hasn't set the world alight by any means. He's also coming off an ACL. So I don't know. It's a weird one. Yeah. I don't know where Ilias is going to end up. I think he's a Balmain junior, but I can't see, you know, him going back to the Tigers or anything.
Yeah. I think also to his credit, the state of South Sydney right now with him unable to play – has taken a load off his back. I think made a lot of people realize our problems weren't always him. And I think he was the easy scapegoat for a lot of our losses last year. And it's pretty clear that it's not an Ilias problem, Ilias problem.
And you know what? I think if Ilias was there, I don't think he solves the problem. But I personally think there's only 5, maybe 6 halfbacks in the NRL that could maybe turn it around with South Sydney right now.
Yeah.
But I'm not even convinced there's that many, realistically.
One of those are from England.
Hopefully one of them's from England, Kat. Hopefully. Good question.
All right. The Meat Man, with Roosters' $3 million plus war chest, where do you see them spending it?
Yeah, this is going to be so interesting. I obviously with like they re-signed Luke Keary. If you it was funny, Kat. I was literally on the plane to Vegas and I was writing an article. We did a heap of preseason articles for Bloke, and I did one on the Roosters. And my whole article was built around, I think at the end of this year, the Roosters need to make a hard decision with Luke Keary and let him go. I got off the plane. Opened my phone and Roosters re-signed Luke Keary for a year, and I just went, what the fuck? Doesn't make sense to me. I don't get it.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously Luke, he has had to retire, you know, because of head knocks and whatnot, and I fully back the decision by Luke. He's got a young family and whatnot. I get it 100%. He's achieved everything you can achieve in rugby league already. He's played for the Kangaroos. He's played Origin, 3-time premiership winner, Clive Churchill medalist. I get it. But, yeah, that whole situation was weird to me. They're freeing up a lot of cash this year between Manu, Keary.
I saw it was a graphic that Roasty made, actually. Yeah. I'm going to pull it up because it spells it out very clearly. Yeah. But
these sums of money are, I don't know. But
yeah, of course. We will never actually know. It's between the player and the manager. Yeah. But they're looking at $4 million plus, according to this, with 600K off for JWH, 850K connected to Keary, 800K Joey Manu. The list goes on. But
yeah, and regardless of whether the sums are correct or not, it's a lot of fucking money. Let's be honest here. So I don't know. I'm looking around the competition, and I know guys have re-signed with clubs and whatnot, but we all know that contracts are fucking. They're not worth the paper that they're written on anymore. Realistically, Soan Cobbo is the name that keeps popping up to me that they're very interested in. Soan Cobbo's one. I don't know. I just feel like this Galvin kid is one that the Roosters will identify. The thing is, though, that they're probably not going to run with two young halves. They're probably going to want a matured head. Who that is, I don't quite know. Tough. No one's jumping off the page at me. yeah. to be honest with you. I wouldn't be surprised, and I don't know if it does quite line up, but like a guy like Benny Hunt wouldn't shock me to maybe finish his career at the Roosters, which I'd like to
see. I could see him fitting in quite well there.
I think he'd do really well at the Chooks, Benny Hunt. So, yeah, there's a lot of guys. I think Galvin, if I was the Tigers, I know he's re-signed, but I'd be nervous about Buller. He's another one, you know. Obviously, it happened with Teddy years ago. The other one, you know, I know he's re-signed at Parramatta, but the Roosters, they are going to need a gun ball player. I wouldn't be surprised to see them try and get Dill Brown or Mitch Moses.
Yeah.
Just where they're at in their careers right now. Outside of that, I'm sort of shooting a little bit of a blank. But, yeah, you just know the Roosters are going to make moves and, you know, it could be guys from Union,
well,
it could be like –
don't forget as well that there was images of Trent Robinson with Adam Dewey.
Yeah.
And as much as Dewey's been out of the game for a hot minute,
yeah,
sources have told me that he could be back in about 10 weeks' time, which would give him time to settle back into the Tigers and be a potential signing for someone like the Roosters should he come back. Strong enough.
Yeah, and I personally think, and respectfully to Adam Dewey, I think that, like, I'm not sure where his spot is at the Tigers.
Yeah, I don't think he knows.
Yeah, and, like, he's not going to get that 5'8 jersey off Galvin.
No.
Jerome Luai arrives next year. That's only going to get harder. I don't know if Adam wants to play centre or not, but I also think if he was to go to the Roosters, he'd be playing centre anyway. So, but, yeah, there's a lot of guys out there that would happily jump up at an opportunity to go and play for the Roosters and to live in Sydney and whatnot. So, yeah, it's going to be a
– yeah, it's definitely lifestyle-wise. It's one of the
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
I saw clubs to play for.
Yeah. The other one, and this is probably the longest shot of all time, but fuck, it would be an interesting storyline. And look, I don't think this is going to happen.
I'm actually so curious what name you're going to say.
Well,
right now.
In the late 90s, the Roosters had a player playing for them by the name of Ivan Cleary. I wonder if Trent Robinson, if they decide Robbo isn't the guy moving forward, do they make a play at trying to get Nathan Ivan to come up? Look, I don't think it'll happen. Don't get me wrong.
No.
But the Roosters, they don't think inside the box. They think outside the box. They take fucking shots. And I don't know.
And if you got the money to spend,
You could, if you get both of them, why not? And personally, based on this new salary cap and everything, I'd be willing to pay Nathan 1.5, 1.6. I know he can carry a team. Like,
wow, that is a nice little suggestion.
I don't think it'll happen. I cannot stress that enough. But I just think it's an interesting little talking point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never say never.
Never say never.
Never say never. It's never just ice cream.
Never just ice cream.
All right. For Relegator, if you could be head coach of any club from the NRL era for a season with that year's roster, who would it be and why?
If I could be an NRL coach, I think the Tigers of 05 would have been pretty fun.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, Timmy Sheens with Benji, Scotty Prince, really good bunch of blokes, and just went on this incredible run that just couldn't be matched. That was unbelievable. I also just think, though, Kat, like, as much as it's probably a little bit boring, but being the coach of a Panthers or a Melbourne Storm when they're sort of like in that dynasty
in
sort
their
of
peak.
Era. Be cool. Your bunnies in 14, I think, would have been really
fun. I mean,
fun.
It's an easy answer, but that's mine because that's where the most connection is.
Yeah.
That's where I feel the most excited about my team.
Yeah, and I think those teams across that three-year period that ended drought, South Sydney, Cronulla, Cowboys, would have all been really cool.
Just imagine the vibe. Imagine the vibe in the locker rooms as they got closer and closer to finals. It just would have been really exciting.
Yeah, it would have been crazy. So, yeah, one of those teams I think I probably would have
Do you
have
know
gone
what
for.
As well? Now, forgive me because I'm not a guru, so I can't tell you everything about this side, but we talk about the Maroons winning 8 in a row.
Yeah.
Imagine being the New South Wales team that broke that record.
Yeah, but yeah, the feeling.
The
14 New South Wales Blues, that would have been a pretty special camp to be a part of. For sure. Yeah, that feeling.
When you're the ones who break an 8 games, an eight origin streak. Can you imagine how that felt?
It is so funny when you look back through history and you're like, this Maroons team, unbelievable. They were the best we've ever seen. And then you look at the team that beat them and it was like, respectfully to these guys, like I love them, but like our halves were Trent Hodgkinson and Josh Reynolds. Like two guys that if you were to write down your 200 greatest New South Wales players, probably neither of them even gets spoken about. But the boys stood up on the big stage and got it done. A moment that can never be taken away from Trent Hodgkinson.
Amen.
Fucking incredible.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Bryce Irvine, we are almost a third of the way through the season, which is crazy. Who's the best and worst signing of the year so far?
Oh, best and worst. I think the worst signing has to be fucking Spencer Lenu at this point. He hasn't played a game and he's...
He played one game and completely shit the bed.
So I think Spencer Lenu has to be worst as it stands right now.
Hard to disagree with that.
Best signing. Best signing is a good one. I'll tell you who I thought was a very – he's obviously injured now, but I thought Zach Hosking was going great guns. I thought that he was absolutely killing it. Who else? Timmy Williams. Yeah, little Timmy Williams down there in the nation's capital. Wimmy Tilliams. Have the Warriors – oh, obviously, Rogers been a really good signing.
For sure.
He's been right up there. I think it's probably a little bit early, but I think Sean Blaude of the Melbourne Storm's going to age really, really well. Outside of that, I'm sort of
– I mean, Appy to Tigers. Was he there last season?
Yeah, he was there last year.
Okay,
never mind.
Appy. Ignore that.
Outside of that, I'm sort of – I'm struggling to think of another absolute standout. I hope I'm not missing anyone.
Do you think Brooksy's not quite?
Oh, yeah, no, I
think Brooksy's kind of up there too, given what he came from and what he's been.
I wouldn't have him as my top, but he's in the conversation for sure. Yeah. He's been a good signing, Brooksy. I think Stephen Crichton's been fucking unreal. Yeah. So has Josh. Actually, Canterbury's got a few. Critter, Curran, they've been very good for that club. They've done some great signings.
So, even Bronson. I think Bronson's proving himself to be quite the signing.
Yeah. So, I think even for the Dragons, like Tommy Eisenhuth's done really well, probably one that people didn't expect to be a big signing, but he's done incredibly well. So there are a number of them getting around.
And obviously Galvin.
Yeah, Galvin. Yeah. I think Roger's hard to go past though.
I'd agree.
Roger and probably Hosking at the moment. I feel like there must be something we're missing.
Trying
to go through the teams and think about it live. But, yeah, those are the ones. And Critter I'd have right up there as well.
Yeah. Big fan of Critter, aren't you?
Big Critter guy.
Yeah, I'm a big Critter girl.
No, okay. We know. We know.
All right, where is the next question?
I thought you'd tell you a little story about
Critter. Okay, fine, I'll tell it.
Off you go.
Fine.
I think it's funny.
So anyone who follows our content day knows that, yeah, your day oneers, you know that I think Critter is just like an absolute, he's just gorgeous.
Yeah.
And on the weekend I got a text from Nate, from Guru, I was about to use your government name.
My government name.
Saying that he was watching NRL 360 and Critter was there with Jacob Carraz being interviewed by the boys, and your text message just said, "Mate, I get it. Critter is a sort." And it's one of the best messages he's ever sent me.
Yeah, he was looking like a proper snack the other night. Shout out to Critter. Good gear.
Great gear.
Back it. What do we got?
All right, Haggy. Hey, Rue, what are the chances of your CBA Jai Gray holding down the South's number one jersey long term? Heard rumours of a backline reshuffle when Trell is back. Wide into 5'8", Walker to half and Trell into centres.
I'd be doing it. I would honestly be doing it. Maybe I'm biased because I love Jai Gray, but he brings energy. He brings enthusiasm. I think that if you put Latrell straight back to fullback, he's not going to come in match fit. He's coming off a few weeks off. He's not going to be match fit. It's just going to put more and more pressure on him. We just spoke about Latrell when at the Roosters, one of the most dominant players in this competition. Why not let him play left center? I've been saying it for weeks. I would have played Cody Walker at halfback for a long time. As soon as Cody Walker takes control the other night, Kat, against Melbourne, in Melbourne, shock me, Cody Walker's a good fucking footballer. I just think they need to give the keys to Cody, let him play seven. I'd probably move Jack to six and I'd play Latrell at left center. That's what I'd be doing.
Yeah, I rate it entirely. I'm completely on board with it.
And it sounds like that's what they're going to do. If the rumours are true, which hopefully they are, it sounds like that's what they're going to do. So very interesting.
Okay. D. Cannon, hey Roo Crew, wishing you well. If you could resurrect any coach's career from the modern era, sorry, for the modern era, who would it be and why?
Yeah, pretty easy one for me. I think it's very hard to go past Jack Gibson. I've obviously got like the 1981 Parramatta Eels thing up there, you know, obviously winning 4 premierships in 6 years, I think it was, with the Parramatta Eels. I would love to see Jack Gibson in the modern day go toe-to-toe with not only Wayne Bennett, not only Craig Bellamy, but people might not like it, but you've got to put Ivan Cleary in that conversation now. Mm-hmm. What he's built there is unbelievable.
Absolutely.
And to have those four going toe-to-toe, I think that'd be fucking incredible. Jack Gibson, probably still the best coach ever. There's arguments around that and whatnot, but you look at, you know, what Jack Gibson achieved over a long period of time, especially at the Parramatta Eels and how he built that side. If I was Ivan Cleary, I would – and I'm sure Ivan will be. He's not chasing. Like, if I was Ivan, I'm in a spot where I can go, you know what? Nath's 25 years old. He's got 10 more years left in his career. I can build teams around him for the next decade. I can establish myself as the greatest coach of all time here. And you know what? The other thing with Ivan is that he's not just winning games because he's got the best attacking player. He's also built the best defensive system we have ever seen. He's lost assistant coach after assistant coach after assistant coach. If you don't think Ivan's up there with the greats, you're fucking kidding yourself. Yeah. So
I mean, it says a lot that Seraldo learned what he learned under Ivan Cleary, and the Bulldogs are playing some of their best footy in almost 10 years.
Yeah. How are the New Zealand Warriors going?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? So, I would love to bring back Jack Gibson, and I'd love to see him go toe-to-toe with Wayne, Craig, and Ivan. I probably would have mentioned Trent Robinson in that a few years ago.
Not now.
But I just don't think he's in that class right now.
No, yeah. I agree with that. All right. Nick Owen. Yes, yes, Roo. Your favourite Pommy fan hath returned. If you could travel back in time to relive a rugby league moment live, what moment would you go back to? Club, origin and international. Same question for the Catalyst. Much love from many, many miles away.
Speaking of many, many miles away, mate, I would probably come to your homeland. I've said it before. I would love to have been there for the 1990 Kangaroo Tour where Mal Meninga scores that unbelievable try. I think it was game 2 at Wembley. That's probably the moment that stands out for me. I've been very lucky, Kat, to be live at a number of unbelievable moments.
That's so cool.
The other one that I think would have been really cool to be at and special to be at would have been the 1999 grand final where it went upstairs for the penalty try. We actually got a teddy bear the other day from the 1999 grand final, which we should feature in some content pretty soon.
Oh, definitely.
It's pretty cool. But yeah, they're probably the ones that I'd be leaning to. I wasn't at the game when Trent Hodgkinson scored that try in 14. I was sort of at home with mates, got the big projector out on the big screen out the back and had a great night, but that would have been pretty cool to be there for. What stands out for you, Kathmandu?
Probably my biggest regret in life is that I wasn't at the 2014.
Oh, were you not there?
I was not there.
Oh.
I was actually away.
Oh,
so I wasn't even in Australia.
Oh, okay. Well,
but yeah, but that sucks because yeah, I look back at it and I have no personal memories of it other than what I saw other people experiencing. So for me, I know it's such an easy response to give, but it is one moment where I would have been old enough to really enjoy it, but I wasn't there.
It's funny, like looking back at that moment in 2014, I think that it is one of the when you talk about like expressions of just absolute joy and happiness.
Genuinely.
Being in that stadium that night. And I'm not a South fan, obviously, but just what it meant to South fans that night was just
huge.
It was like, as I said, not a South fan, but like it almost had me in
tears. But you are from this area.
I'm from the area, so I know it. And you know, like before I'd met it, my wife was in the stadium that night. I've seen the videos of them just bawling their eyes out with happiness. And then to come back a year later and see the Sharkies do the Cowboys do the same thing than the Sharks, it was, but yeah, I don't know, probably that South Sydney one because I'm from South Sydney and, you know, a lot of my friends and family are Rabbitohs fucking diehards.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one had a very special feeling to it.
Yeah, I agree. And so reliving that would be.
Where were you overseas watching it?
I was 2014. I was in Italy.
Italy, yeah, right. Did you watch it or?
No. Yeah,
wow.
I told you.
Wow.
Big regrets.
Wow.
Oh, no, that's not true. I did watch it, but just it's just different to not being there.
Yeah.
Anyway, Harvey McCormack. Hey, Roo, what team do you really support? It's time. The people need to know.
Ah, fuck off, Harvey. I don't have a team. I'm a fan of the game.
Yeah. Do you know what? I told you this last week, yeah. but the more I work in it too, the easier it is to say that.
Yeah.
Because I say things that are so sacrilegious these days.
Yes.
Just so against South Sydney.
Yeah. And I mean, you've now spent a lot of time with me on off camera. I genuinely don't have a team. People don't believe me.
I think you just have players.
Yeah, I have players.
You have
clear
favourites yeah. in each team or players that you're drawn to that you like to talk about more than others, but that's purely because they've obviously done something to stand out in your eyes.
Yeah.
And you might have a few more on the Roosters than, for example, I don't know, the Newcastle Knights, but it doesn't mean that you're more of a Rooster than a Knights.
Yeah, for sure. And I think the whole Roosters narrative has grown quickly because the Roosters are always interesting.
Mm.
They're never not in the headline. So you're always sort of talking about them in some degree. But yeah, I mean, it is going to be as you know, you guys know, my brother's playing Jersey Flegg at the Roosters. So hopefully if Josh can make his way through the grades,
I think
I'm obviously
going to
support my brother no matter what.
Yeah,
so
you'll be well and truly a Roosters.
Sword by then.
Yeah.
Fuck, that'd be really hope he makes it, but fuck, that'd be terrible for Brand Guru if I have to fully dive in on the Roosters. Terrible for my marriage too, just quietly. Not good.
Really bad for your marriage.
Yeah.
Really
and my work marriage as well, to be fair. You're
a proud South Sydney fan. I'm also I think I'm a little bit more neutral than your wife.
Yeah, I think you'd appreciate Josh playing for the Roosters more than Becky.
Yeah, because I mean we've talked about this, but my family's very split on my mum's side because my mum grew up in Maroubra. So she grew up a South Sydney supporter, loosely. Yeah. She'll tell me that she went to games. I'm like, which games did you go to? She couldn't tell me one.
Yeah.
But she was a South Sydney supporter growing up and her sister also. But her sister married a Roosters fanatic and all his kids support the Roosters.
Yeah, right.
And so all family events on my mum's side are very split between Roosters and Rabbitohs, but like hardcore Roosters supporters. And then on my dad's side, they're all Bulldogs and Parramatta because they just live up to the Lebanese stereotypes.
That's great.
But it makes life very interesting. But I think it's by default made me a little bit more neutral as opposed to aggressive. I feel like it could go one of two ways.
You're definitely not aggressive.
No.
Yeah. I like that.
Thank you. All right, we have one more question.
Yeah.
It's from Luke O'Neill. Who's the one player for whatever reason only played a handful of games but should have played 200?
Luke O'Neill, good question.
He sounds like a player.
Yeah, Luke, he sounds like he'd play in the back row and he'd be fucking tough as nails.
Yeah, it's giving Cam McGuinness vibes.
Love that. Mate, the guy that always comes to mind for me, a fella named Anthony Cherrington, who sort of came through in this local area, played Roosters, played South. I think he came back and played first grade for the Rabbitohs maybe 2 or 3 years ago. Just injuries fucked Anthony Cherrington sideways. He was an absolute gun. He was one that I obviously watched quite a bit of. There's another guy named Benny Jones. I remember when I was in high school, you used to go and watch.
I know this. I know him.
I've told you about Benny before. Yeah, yeah. Very good player. Benny was back in the day when I was younger in this South Sydney area, if you're a good footballer, Matto Sports would pick you up and take you away from whatever school you're at, put them into their system. So like the Matto Sports team back in the day at my age was like Adam Reynolds, Boyd Cordner, Kane Evans, a lot of other guys that were very, very good that didn't make it to first grade. But at that time, like I remember going to watch Matto Sports and their halves were Adam Reynolds and this Benny Jones. And if you had to tip which one of them would go to multiple grand finals, win a premiership, be one of the best players in the game, you would have gone Benny by a country fucking mile. He was such a talented player, Benny Jones. Another one that I'm not sure, maybe it was injuries, but I think just life and whatnot just went different. I think he's actually working back at Matto Sports now. I see him sometimes with Georgie Rose and those boys. He's another one. There's so many of these guys out. Like, to be honest with you, and, you know, people think, oh, you're just kissing his ass. Like, Kempy's another one. That if things would have just gone Kempy's way throughout his career, I think he played 40 first grade games. That could have quite easily been 200. Selfishly, I'm glad it wasn't 200 games, Kat.
Yeah, I think that the media landscape in rugby league would look really different if he'd done
it's
that.
It's a really big turning point. I personally think, looking back in rugby league history, it's going to be a bit of a turning point that Kempy went to the Warriors because that was sort of where it started to drop off. Had he stayed at the Broncos, which in hindsight, and this is my thoughts, that these are Kempy's words himself, his career probably plays out very, very differently.
Imagine Kempy stayed at the Dragons.
Well, yeah, but I think by the time Kemby got to the Dragons, he was just done. He just didn't give a fuck. He was just finished. He wanted to do something else. But, you know, had Kemby gone on to play another 200 first grade games, which, you know, I think people forget just how good Kemby actually was as a footballer. Mm-hmm. You know, does he start bloking a bar? Where's rugby league media sitting here? Like it just, it changes so many avenues.
That's a what
it's
if.
It's not even, it's a huge
You've
what if.
You've done a full circle moment and gone from answering this question to answering our very first question.
We've gone back to question number one. Yeah. I think as well, a teammate of Kempy's who I'm obviously mates with now and absolutely love him, but another guy that just could have been, without using my words, could have been anything, was Drow Yeo-Yee, who got injured. Mm. I think he only played about 50 or 60 games, but he'd already dominated Origin, already dominated for the Kangaroos, and was going to be, I think, one of the greatest wingers we've ever seen. So had it not been for Drow's injury, I think he's another one that goes on to play, and he started young too. Carmichael Hunt's another one, went to Union, went to AFL. That was a shit fight. Mm. He probably should have played 300 first grade games. So, yeah, there's 1,000 out there, and you guys will be able to give me –
yeah, I'm curious.
1,000 more of them, but yeah, some very good ones. Yeah, that microphone has copped an absolute pounding today.
Almost knocked myself out on this microphone. It's the closer you are to it, the less you see.
You're pretty
it.
Jammed in there, to be fair.
I am.
I'm not going to do anything about it, no, but you are pretty jammed in there.
It's all for the aesthetics. Also, have we noticed the guru bobblehead? I'm waiting for the perfect weekend to break it. When you. Do it again, wait. Nah, does no it look way. Like you? Yeah.
Does it look like me?
It
looks more like me than I do.
Couldn't look more like him. Yeah. Oh, that's the wrong chair. This is me.
What about our shelves, by the way? Anyone notice our new shelves?
How good's that?
Pretty handy.
I'll show you the other chair because it's clear there's no one there. So you can see we've got a bit of a shelf situation going on. With our little bobbleheads.
Yeah, I thought I'd put the great Canberra Raiders legend Laurie Daly behind Tim Williams' head.
Makes perfect sense. Yeah. Although he will be covering it as soon as he's in here.
Yes. Anyway.
Fantastic.
Thanks for joining us once again, guys. If you're on the Rugby League Guru podcast and you want to get your questions sent in and whatnot, jump over to the Patreon, the Roo Crew. Link is in the description. And if you're in the Roo Crew, you'll be sitting back enjoying the video of this podcast as you do with the vast majority of our videos that we do that are available strictly in the Roo Crew. Merchandise coming very, very soon. Me and Kathmandu are going to add that to the whiteboard. And we're going to talk about that this afternoon.
Also, we christened the whiteboard today. We bought a new one last week. And I got – wait, I can definitely – look at that. White shirt. I'm so infuriated.
For those playing the podcast game at home,
sorry, yeah,
Kat
me
was
just
writing
in
on the whiteboard and stabbed herself with
a black marker on
black
my
marker.
Fresh white t-shirt.
Yeah, very good. Very, very good. Love to see it. Thanks for joining us once again, legends. We'll see you next time on the Rugby League Guru podcast.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.